Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles. I hope you're experiencing the comfort and the hope given to us in the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of difficulty and trial. The gift the Lord has given to us in the resurrection from the dead, his victory over death, and given a future to the human race, that no matter what this world brings us, the trials, the difficulties, the disappointments, and ultimately death, and people's lives as we describe them as being cut short, maybe dying at a younger age, and there's so much pain and so much grief that's there, that's very, very real. But at the same time, we know there's the light of faith that shines and that gives us hope. I remember when my father, just a few days before my father passed away back in 1997, I was there. We were in my parents' home. My dad was battling cancer. He had brain cancer, bone cancer, lung cancer, and he was brought home for hospice in the home. And my siblings and I were there, with my mom, and we were planning on how to take care of dad. And people were going to take turns being with him. And we had a meeting, but before we left, we knelt down. We're praying with dad, and dad, was physically his whole life been an athletic, kind of strong guy, and here he was, just white, kind of white and grayish. He had a morphine patch on him. He was in pain. He was skinny. His skin was kind of just hanging on him. And we were kneeling around him. And I remember as we prayed for him, he wanted us to pray his favorite prayers, the Lord's Prayer, Hail Mary, and then the prayer from AA, accept the things you cannot change, have the courage to change the things you can, because my dad was a recovering alcoholic. He'd been sober for many years, but he battled it for a time. And so I was kneeling right next to him, and I had as we were praying, my forehead was on his arm because it was just kind of leaning on his forearm. And I just felt I just saw how scaly and his skin was. And I just remembered, I had almost like a flashback to a time when I was a little kid, and I remember leaning on his arm when he just had big, strong arms and muscles and all that. And it was so sad, and he was just going away. And it just was overwhelmed by the power of death and how real it is and how powerless we are in the face of it on our own. And right in that moment, I just wept. I was just weeping, and it felt dark and it felt very sad. It was a real power. You could feel it, And in the midst of it, all of a sudden I saw this light, just the light of faith, the light of God, the light of there's a future, that this is a horribly painful moment that it will pass, and dad's going to pass from death to life, and he's soon going to be with Jesus, and by God's grace, we die in the Lord, we're going to be together again. And it wasn't an emotion I was trying to stir up. It was the gift of faith in the moment, and light was shed into the darkness, and it was really powerful. And it was the presence of the Holy Spirit just giving consolation, the truth about what Jesus has actually done and is conquering the power of sin and death. And so I think about that periodically during these days as we're battling against, humanity's facing its mortality, and it causes unbelievable disruption and creates so much fear and anxiety in people. And so the Holy Spirit is with us, as I said on yesterday's program, to give us counsel, to give us comfort, to advocate for us before the Father, but to give us a revelation deep within our spirits, deep within our hearts, that we're children of God. And we can say, like Jesus said we could say, once he sent the Holy Spirit to us, that we're not alone. We're never alone. No matter how alone we feel, he's with us right to the end, right through the end, right to the point of our coming into the presence of God the Father. Thanks be to God for that. So today, Acts 20, we're going to just cover this reading today, elements of it, and then it continues tomorrow. It's a very special section of the Acts of the Apostles. It's Paul leaving Ephesus, a community who he'd been with and he shepherded for a long time. And it says, I'll just read it and we'll kind of make our way through it. He said, from Miletus, Paul had the presbyters of the church at Ephesus summoned. So the church of Ephesus, the leaders that he raised up, whether bishops or priests raised up, came to be with him, Miletus. When they came to him, he addressed them. He said this, now notice how clear Paul is about who he is in Christ, the clarity of the message, the clarity of the work he did among them. There's a lot to learn about what it means to be a disciple and just listening to Paul and his confidence before God and his great love for the brethren. So here's Paul. You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to the province of Asia. He said, I serve the Lord with all humility. So he walked in humility. He walked in the footsteps of the Lord. That's a long way from where he was when he was there at the stoning of Stephen, and he was running on the road to Damascus to arrest and probably kill more Christians, more Jews who had received Jesus. He said, I serve the Lord in all humility. And as I was reading this, I was thinking of the beautiful hymn that he wrote to our Lord and about our Lord in Philippians chapter 2. And he said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death on a cross. So Paul is calling the Philippian community here to walking in the footsteps of Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus being the kenosis, that's the term that's used here, that Jesus emptied himself of his absolute authority and royalty and divine power that he could have manifested in so many ways. He emptied himself and took on human flesh so he could save us. He became our servant. He came to save us from the powers of sin and death, and he did it through humility. It was the pride of Satan, the envy of Satan, that really began the mess that the human race is in, and the pride and the mistrust and the lack of humility and surrender of Adam and Eve that produced the state of original sin that humanity was born into and contributed to the reality of the fall that we're living through here in the earth. Jesus came and he showed us the way. To humble himself, he became obedient even unto death itself. So Paul is basically saying, I'm walking in the footsteps of the Lord. I came among you as a servant. Jesus said, I come among you as one who serves. Don't be like the world. And so in the world, think about it, friends, how much boasting and chest pounding and branding and look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm first, got to be first, that the world constantly puts in front of us. Who cares? The only thing that matters, and this is what a renewed mind, Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. The only thing that matters is to think like Christ. He's the only one who truly reveals what's valuable, where the gold really is, what human fulfillment really looks like. And the world exalts pride, it exalts boasting, and it's total foolishness, but we can get sucked into it if we're not careful. Jesus said, I come among you as one who serves. He washed the feet of the apostles. It means he washes your feet, he washes my feet, and it's an expression of humility. So Paul goes on, he said, I serve the Lord with all humility and with the tears and the trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews. So we know that Paul went through a lot. You know, they pursued him. He was whipped. You know, how many times did he receive the lash? You know, 40 lashes less one, 39 lashes, I think was the number, three different occasions. I mean, so much trouble, stoned, beaten, the rest of it. So Paul knew the trials of what it meant to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And he shed tears. Maybe he shed tears for the actual physical pain, but he also shed tears for his brothers and sisters in the synagogues and in the temples that rejected Christ, that rejected him, that rejected the message. He had the heart of Jesus that wept for Israel and for God's people. He goes on and he said, and I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit or from teaching you in public or in your home. So Paul is saying, look, I didn't hold back anything, and I brought to you the word of God. I brought to you the gospel. He'll fill it out here a little bit. He said, I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus. That's another summary, friends, of the basic gospel, of what's the good news that the Lord is bringing to us. Paul's a witness. He bore witness to the truth about Jesus, that Jesus is Lord and that he's come to take away our sin and that every human being, whether Jew or Greek, is called to repentance. That's changing the direction of their life and turning to Jesus and accepting Jesus' offer given to us by God the Father. The offer of Jesus is the forgiveness of sins that he won for us on the cross by shedding his blood, by giving us an opportunity. He became a sacrifice for sin on our behalf. And so then he, from his position now of authority, of absolute purity and freedom before the Father, one of us who lived righteously right to the end before God, he now gives us a chance to share in what belongs to him. And so Paul said, I presented to you the call to repentance. I didn't hesitate. That's a good word for the whole church. Those who preach the gospel, those, all of us who are engaged in the mission of the church, and that should be all the baptized. Every human being needs to repent and come to God, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not. Can't beat them over the head, but you can testify and bear witness to what God has called you to and how you've experienced God's mercy through that repentance. And then faith in the Lord Jesus, a radical abandonment and trust, not just generic repentance, but repentance in faith in Jesus to forgive our sins. Then Paul goes on. He said, but now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me there, I don't know. Except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonments and hardships await me. So we've been hearing a lot these days in the readings each day of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that each of us is given the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Spirit will come. He'll guide you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll tell you what to speak. He'll remind you of what I taught you. He'll give you power. He will give you consolation. And here we're seeing it in the life of St. Paul. He said that the Holy Spirit's compelling me. That's another thing the Holy Spirit does. Compel us into mission if we're willing to listen to him and to surrender to his presence and power within us. Paul said, I'm compelled by the Spirit. He's going to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit told him, warned him, I want you to know ahead of time what's coming, Paul. You're going to be thrown in prison and you're going to experience more hardships. But Paul knows he's already experienced in the midst of tears and trials the consolation of the Spirit. It's not just an idea. It's not just a nice religious sentiment. It is real, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We need to open ourselves to the Spirit, to talk to the Spirit, to receive the help and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is so beautiful. Paul goes on to say, yet I consider my life of no importance to me. If only I finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. Witness to the gospel, the good news of God's gift of grace given to us in Jesus, in his death on the cross, his dying and rising for us, an offer of salvation. Paul says, yet I consider my life of no importance. That isn't supposed to be unique just to this great brother of ours. This is the mind of a disciple. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, if I remember correctly, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. My life is no longer my own. I'm dead. I've died with Christ in baptism. Now I belong to him, and my life is in his hands. And the only thing that matters, have I done what he's given me to do on the earth? That's the central question of a disciple, I think, that Paul is giving to us here, and one, friends, that each and every one of us ought to ask ourselves. And get the help of the Holy Spirit to be there. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.